Welcome to the latest Callen podcast. Imagine a market so dominated by just a few giant stocks that it actually started, well, breaking some fundamental investment rules. That's the really compelling story we're unpacking today. It's based on our Callen blog post, What's Behind the Capping Changes to the Russell Indices? It's a fascinating look at how this unprecedented market concentration basically forced longstanding benchmarks to radically adapt.
Yeah, our sources really highlight a critical development for you, the institutional investors listening. It's about the sheer market concentration we saw back in 2024. You know, those magnificent seven stocks, they didn't just perform well. They accounted for a staggering 60% of the Russell 1000 Growth Index's weight.
Which is just a massive jump from their usual influence. Huge.
Exactly. And if you looked at the Russell 1000 Growth's pretty hefty 33% return in 2024, nearly half of that came from just these few names. So this extreme market narrowness, well, you can imagine it created real challenges for diversification, obviously, but also, crucially, for regulatory compliance.
Right. What's fascinating here is how that concentration really put a spotlight on specific regulatory guidelines, yeah, particularly for mutual funds. Two primary rules became, let's say, acutely relevant. First, there's the Investment Company Act of 1940. You probably know it as the 525 rule.
Right, the diversification rule.
Exactly. Think of it like a guardrail. Yeah. It stops a fund from having too much of its assets tied up in just a few really big bets. It limits the aggregate of those stocks that are over 5% of the portfolio to just 25% of total assets.
Okay.
Then there's the IRS 25550 rule,
yeah,
sometimes called the 550 rule. Mm-hmm. That one says no more than 25% of a portfolio's total assets can be in a single company. And the total all companies making up 5% or more can't go over 50% of the portfolio.
Got it. So different thresholds, but similar goal, yeah, limit concentration.
Precisely. And these rules became real structural limitations for managers trying to navigate a market so tilted towards just a handful of names.
So, okay, you've got these critical regulatory limits creating bottlenecks for managers. The big question became, how do you stay compliant? You know, without just abandoning these huge high growth opportunities.
And that's where the index providers stepped in. They came up with some ingenious new capping methodologies.
Our sources highlight FTSE Russell's approach, mainly because their indices are so widely used.
Makes sense.
So effective March 24, 2025, FTSE Russell rolled out this 22.54.545 capping methodology for their Russell US style indexes.
Let's break that down quickly. It basically means no single stock can be more than 22.5% of the index.
Okay.
And all the stocks that are 4.5% or bigger, when you add them all up, they can't exceed 45% of the total index weight.
Right. So new caps. And the real headline, particularly for the Russell 1000 Growth, is that since March 24th, there are now two versions.
That's two.
You have the R1000G, that's the capped index. And then you have the R1000GB, pronounced R1000GB, which stays uncapped. That's a really significant split, isn't it?
It truly is. And if we connect this back to the bigger picture for you, the institutional investor, that Russell 1000 Growth Index, the capped one, the R1000G, it's probably best not to think of it as a completely new thing.
More like an update.
Exactly. It's really an adjustment to the existing index that everyone was using. So it's pretty much expected that many 40 Act funds, you know, mutual funds, will just continue to benchmark against this capped version. We've heard that key index fund providers have indicated they will keep tracking these capped benchmarks.
Although some flexibility there.
Yes. Although some are apparently prepared to offer custom solutions if clients specifically want to track the uncapped indices. Now, this raises a really important point for many listeners. Separate accounts and collective investment trusts, or CITs, they aren't registered investment companies, RICs.
So they play by different rules?
Correct. They aren't subject to that IRS 2550 rule that governs mutual funds, which means they could potentially choose to use the R1000GG, the uncapped Russell 1000 Growth Benchmark Index, for comparison.
Especially if they have flexible tracking error guidelines, perhaps.
Precisely. Our discussions suggest this will likely be up to the client. It'll be their discretion. So the strong recommendation here is definitely review your investment guidelines. Check inside your investment policy statements. Make sure the correct benchmark, the one you intend to use, is reflected. Because the names are so similar, R1000G versus R1000GG.
Good advice. Easy to mix those up. Okay, let's unpack the implications for the investment managers themselves. And by extension, how you as an institutional investor should maybe think about evaluating them now. First off, there's turnover. Mm-hmm. If these new capping thresholds get breached, well, that can create turnover for the index itself, obviously, but also for strategies that track it closely.
But the flip side is interesting too.
How so?
Well, if those thresholds are not breached, it could actually mean less turnover, potentially, while still keeping managers within those RIC diversification guidelines.
Oh, interesting. Okay, second point.
Active weightings. Managers might actually gain a bit more flexibility now. They could adjust their active over and underweights to those big top benchmark names, especially right after a benchmark rebalancing due to the capping.
So maybe more room to maneuver around the giants.
Potentially. Huh? But, and this is a big but, despite the capping, benchmark concentration is still a significant concern, particularly if the market keeps rewarding, you know, those top 10 holdings disproportionately. The cap helps, but it doesn't eliminate the concentration issue entirely.
Right. It just manages the extremes. And finally,
downside capture. Think about this. If there's significant performance disaggregation among those top holdings.
Meaning some do great, others tank.
Exactly. Some of those major stocks might sharply diverge. In that scenario, managers who were underweight might not fully benefit from being right about the losers, especially if they also didn't participate much when those same stocks were going up. It gets complicated.
So what's the kind of core takeaway here for you, the listener? This isn't just about tweaking some numbers in an index, is it?
Not at all.
It's really forcing a fundamental strategic recalibration for investment managers. They're now navigating this new landscape where compliance meets concentration.
That's a good way to put it.
It really demands smarter decisions around liquidity, around active positioning, and just how they capture returns in what might still be a very top-heavy market.
And this raises, I think, a really important question looking forward. What will be the long-term impact on portfolio construction, on manager behavior? Will this maybe foster broader market participation eventually or not?
And that's precisely why this whole development isn't just some technical tweak in an index manual. It's really a living case study in how markets adapt. The full ramifications, well, of course, they're going to unfold in real time as we watch. But for you, I think the key is understanding these shifts are now a permanent feature of the investment landscape, their ultimate influence. That will truly be revealed only over time as markets and managers continue to adapt to this new methodology.